It is a pleasure to be back here with us tonight, and I'm just excited that this is our first evening service, and man, it's just been a blessing today. As I've was reading and continuing to study this afternoon, and it's just helped me tremendously, because before it was just had so much I wanted to say, and man, I'm trying to figure out how am I going to get all this in. I've only got morning service, and you know, I had all this information, and I was stressing out trying to see what I could get rid of and what I needed to keep, and so now it's not necessarily easier that I don't have as much to do, but I can take our time. We can take our time, and we can go through the Word of God, and we can slow down, and we can begin to dive in verse by verse and word by word if necessary. And also, it helps me keep my train of thought, amen, because I haven't had a work week to distract me up to this point. And so I'm able to kind of pick up where we left off this morning. And I'm just excited to see what the Lord would have us to see here tonight. You know, this morning we began in Genesis chapter 1, and we talked about verse 26. We're said, and God said, let us make man our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And tonight, we're going to go into a little further detail about what that entails for our dominion. This morning, we talked about that we have been given a command. We've been given a command by our Almighty God, and how He is sovereign, that He is all-powerful, that He's all-knowing, and that He doesn't need anything of us, but He has designed us to be the tools to accomplish His task. And so tonight, we're going to focus on what that task is. So the main passage of Scripture tonight is going to come from Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verses 17 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 17 through 20. And these, be verses 18 through 20, I'm sorry. And these are Jesus' words. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Dear Lord God, again tonight we come to you thanking you again for your sovereignty, Lord, and your omnipotent power. And God, what a pleasure it is to know we serve an Almighty God who's in control. And Lord, that there's nothing that goes on this world that you don't know about. And God, just as we read this morning, you are the potter and we are the clay and we are in your hands, and you can use us as you see fit. And it's my prayer tonight that as we begin to look into your Word and as we begin to observe the Great Commission and what you've commanded us to do, dear God, that you would stir our hearts, that you would encourage us, God, to do the task at hand. And Lord, I thank you tonight for these faithful folks who are here, who are willing to come and to hear the Word of God preached and to come to sing praises unto you. And I ask that you be with each and every one of us here tonight as we study. And Lord, as we leave this place later on tonight, that God, you'd give us safe traveling grace. And Lord, above all things, we just want to proclaim the name of Christ. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So dominion, we had talked about this morning about dominion and what we believe dominion is. We think of a kingdom, we think of authority, we think of power, we think of a ruler. And when I studied that word, I did not understand how much was out there on the word dominion. There are probably thousands of avenues to go down, or different debatable things that have been discussed about dominion. And I'm not going to go into a lot of depth, but I'm just going to throw a few terms out there. Just so you're aware, there is a word such as dominionism. There is the dominion mandate. There is Christian reconstructionism. There's New Age thinking. There's kingdom now. All these types of philosophies about what it means to have dominion on earth. And some are believe that we are to set up our government under Mosaic law, and that we should be governed by the Mosaic law that was originally given back in the Old Testament. Some believe that we are to gain world power, political power, economic, artistic, and social power. Some believe that that dominion dictates that we are to tyrannically rule, meaning that we are to be as a dictator with an iron fist. We do see a degree of that in another religion called Islam. We know that they practice what is called the Islamic law, the Sharia law. We hear that on the news all the time. And the idea behind that is you must convert or die. They have this idea of extreme, vicious death is what it amounts to. Some believe that it gives us the authority and the ability to go and to abuse nature and to give us power over animals and that we can treat them cruelly and all these kind of things. And to be honest with you, there's so much out there that I don't know about and I can't give a good educated description of that we're just not even going to go there. But I want you to understand that it's a lot of controversial things out there about dominion. But I want us to focus on what we can see clearly in the Word of God tonight. And I want us to begin back in Genesis, and then we're going to come back to Matthew here, and we're going to tie it all together, good Lord's willing. But in the beginning, we know that just as we read, that He created us in His likeness and He gave us dominion. In verse 28 of Genesis chapter 1, Genesis 1:28 said, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Then we move down to Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And we see that, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Now in a few weeks when we get to the fall of man and we look at the fall of man, we'll go into this in greater detail. But I'm trying to catch us up to where God gives us our responsibility in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. It says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." You see, prior to the fall, man was at peace with God and he was in the nature tending to the things that God created. You see, with authority, with that dominion, there comes a sense of responsibility, doesn't it? As Christians today, when we become saved, when the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin and we see ourselves in the eyes of God and we realize that we need a Savior and we realize that we need to confess and possess Christ as our Savior and Lord, that at that moment we understand that we have a responsibility. Salvation doesn't end at salvation. As I mentioned this morning, many people are proud to claim and stay hold of salvation. It's the submission that gives us a lot of trouble. And that's what's true in the world today. Man does not like to submit to God. So if we see here in the very beginning that God put us in the garden to keep it and to tend it, this is prior to the fall. Many people think of work as coming after the fall of man. Well, because man sinned, you know, God told him he was going to have to plow the ground and work by the sweat of his brow, and all that is true. But still, even prior to the fall, God had given man a responsibility. He put man in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it, to tend to the garden. And he could have the fruit of the garden, and he could go and he could partake of the fruit of the garden, but he had to tend it. Now, I can't tell you exactly what that is because there was no rain at this time and we're not going to get into all the details of that story. There was a river that came up and there was water from the ground that began to water and take care. I'm assuming that Adam had some type of responsibility to go and groom the trees, maybe trim the trees. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but God put him there to tend to the garden. So I want to be clear that from the very beginning that there's never been a point in the history of man where we were created to do nothing. You know, that's true, amen. From the very beginning, God had something for us to do. Many of us like to say, well, in the beginning, you know, Adam had it made. He got to sit back and he was in the garden. He got to go and eat and just probably had a hammock up there in the trees just enjoying life. But no, God gave him a responsibility. He asked him to go and tend the garden. We were not only created to enjoy the fruit of the vine, so to speak, but we were in charge of taking care of it. So that's what we see our responsibility in the beginning. And I want to relay that to us today as our responsibility as we see here in Matthew chapter 28. Because just as God had a command from the very beginning to go and to have dominion over the earth, Christ came as a fulfillment of prophecy. And He came to give us a task known as the Great Commission. And that is the Scripture that we see here in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And we're going to go through and we're going to see exactly what it means. When we have this dominion, this authority, we know today that we're no longer in the Garden of Eden, are we? We're no longer in the garden that God created, but we still are here in His creation. And just as God had a plan for Adam at the beginning in creation for him to take care of the things that He's created, He has put us in charge of the things that we have to take care of today as the church. We look here in verse 18, Matthew 28, verse 18, where it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." All is pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? It's pretty well explained. If I looked up the definition, it means the whole, entire, the total amount, quantity, or extent of. In the Greek, it says the full quantity or extent. All power. We talked about that this morning, about God having omnipotent power. We see here that that word power means authority to rule, jurisdiction, control, power, supernatural power, the right to judge. And the word given means to cause, to have. So we see here that all power has been given unto Christ. He is omnipotent. Why is Christ omnipotent? Because as we studied last week, we talked about how Christ was one with God, didn't we? In John chapter 17, verses 21 through 22 says, "...that they all may be one as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And the glory which Thou gavest Me I have given them, that they may be one even as We are one." So Christ has all power, and He has all power where? He has all power in heaven and earth. This again is claiming the deity of Christ. And we talked about that at great length last week about how Christ and the Holy Spirit and the God the Father are all one. They're a triune God. There are really no words that we can express in man's term for us to fully comprehend that. We have to accept by faith that each one are real, each one are distinct, each one has a designated purpose, but they all are one and in one Godhead that we serve, the Almighty God. So we see here that Christ is one and Christ has all power in heaven and in earth. We are one with Christ. We are to be as one as a body of believers. In Romans chapter 12, verse 5 says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." So we all are to be one. If we are one with God the Father, and if we are one with Christ and with the Spirit, and we are one with each other as the body of believers, then what does that mean? Then that means that He has given us all power in heaven and earth. But as I shared this morning, that does not mean that we have the power to do anything that we please, okay? We only have power to do what He would have us to do and the authority that He gives us to do. So verse 19, Christ goes on to say, "Go ye therefore." Go ye therefore. As we read that, this is not a request. This is not a request, it is a command. Christ did not say that all power is given to me in heaven and earth so that ye may go, or so you can go, or if you want to go. He says what? He says, "Go ye therefore." He said to go. And you remember this morning we talked about that in the military, that there's the idea of the chain of command. When a superior officer or when one is in a position of authority gives a command to one that's underneath and he disobeys, we define that as what? Insubordination. And hopefully these ring a bell, amen, if you were paying attention this morning. Insubordination means to disobey. To disobey God. So if God and Christ here has given us a command to go and we don't go, what does that mean? It means we're not listening, amen? You see, many today have the concept that Christ said, I will go and bring them to you. But that's not what He said. That's what so many people today believe in our churches. They don't come out and say it that way. But I'm not going to go talk to them. God, if He wants to save them, He can save them. What's He need me for? If your God is all powerful, why can't He do it by Himself? That's not the way it works. Because see, as I told you, we are the tools that He uses. God is all powerful and omnipotent, and He's able to do anything that He wills to do. But God has created man to be the tool by which it is done. So Christ hasn't said He's going to go get them and come bring them. He has given us the commission to go. You see, the burden for the lost and the seriousness of disobedience to Christ appears to be unaware in today's church. No longer are people mourning for lost loved ones. No longer are people brokenhearted over their sin. Today, Christianity has become nothing more than a fad. You say, how can you say that, brother? All we got to do is look around. Just look around. Not only here tonight, but look around us in the world in which we live in today. We have a world that is dominated by death, by hatred, by violence. And it seems as though we're so far behind in the battle, and it seems as though the waves of defeat just continue to beat upon our shores of our churches and our faith today. Christianity is being eliminated from our schools. It's being eliminated from our society. I saw in the headline news this week as a Christian school at a football field had a display of some type of religious display. I'm not exactly sure. It wasn't the Ten Commandments, but I believe it contained Scripture. And as is the normal case, there was an atheist group who were all up in arms that this was at a public school and that it was offensive and it needed to be removed. You see, today the army of God, or the so-called army of God, may be better described as the army of ghosts because it is nowhere to be found. And I know that that's pretty strong language, but listen, if we are honest with ourselves today, folks, it's the truth. It is the truth. We as Christians just continue to sit back and we continue to let things progress, and we continue to act like the little child who's bullied on the campus, and we just sit back there and, oh Lord, I hope that You can do something about this. I hope You got this under control. And listen, God is in control and He's got it under control, but here we see that He's given us a command, hasn't He? So many are concerned about, well, how much time here is left on earth? We have books about the end times. We have movies about the end times. We have preachers proclaiming the end times. It's being portrayed as a game of life with time quickly running out and we are behind on the scoreboard. We must fight to the end. We must play until the final whistle blows in hope of attaining victory. You see, we can debate what stage of the game that we are in. Many have debated that over the course of history of how it will end and when it will end. But the sad reality, folks, is so many of us have not even taken the field. And why? Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 and 37, Christ says, but when He saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they had fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Folks, we are the laborers, church. We are the laborers. How do we get more laborers? In verse 38 in that same passage, Christ says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. It doesn't say, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest will come and do the work and that He will go and reap and bring them in which are lost. What does it say? That He will do what? He will send forth laborers. Who is that? That is you and I. As I shared when I talked about preaching the gospel, and it's our responsibility to go out because in Romans, as I went through, how can they hear unless we preach? And how can we preach unless we be sent? And how can we be sent unless we're called? All those things. So what do we do? What do we do if we obey? You say, all right, you've convinced me. I'm ready to get on board. I'm ready to take the field. I'm ready to get in the game. What is the task at hand? In verse 19, he says, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The phrase, teach all nations, can also be translated as make disciples. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. We could also say, go ye therefore and instill the Word of God into the hearts of all men. Because that's what it means to be a disciple. It means to go and to share the gospel and to instill the gospel into each and every person, all nations. He didn't come to save this ethnic group or that ethnic group. It says that He came for all. And He encourages us to all. Go to everyone. And I've shared with you before, I don't care who walks through the back doors at Good Pine Baptist Church, regardless of skin color, regardless of anything between sin as far as alcohol or drugs or whatever it may be. Listen, if they want to come and they want to hear the truth of God preached and they're willing to sit under and listen to the Word of God being preached and desire to hear it, I want them to come and hear. Because if we don't do it, amen, who is going to do it? The saddest thing that I could ever imagine is somebody desire to know and to hear the Word of God and not have a place that they can go to do it. And everyone here has always been faithful up to this point. You have been faithful to welcome any visitors. You've been faithful to bring them in, to let them know that we love them, that we are glad to have them. And I want us to understand that we are a family. Not only a family, but we are the body. And not just anybody, we're the body of Christ. Amen. How is discipling done? Discipling is done through close relationships. Christ Himself invested His teachings into 12 men, didn't He? We know them as the disciples. That's where we get the term, disciples. And because God in the flesh, being Christ, poured Himself into 12 men, we can fast forward to say that here we are today. We're still carrying on with the tradition that began over 2,000 years ago. Because why? Because they understood the call. They understood the command. Christ made sure that they were aware of what was at stake. You see, He had to go out and He had to pick some men that were willing. Amen? He had to pick men that would not fail, that would not falter. And I will say that we have some outstanding members here, and I'm not going to call everybody for fear of leaving out. But as I shared, y'all been faithful to come, y'all been faithful to clean, y'all been faithful to work, to give, to do. And that's what it takes, folks. We haven't been called to sit. Amen. Now, I know that as age begins to take hold and as we are not able to do the things that we'd like to do and we're not able to go and we're not able to take care of all that we would like to take care of, there's still needs that can be met. There's spiritual needs. There's prayer. Some of our greatest prayer warriors may not even be able to get out of the house, but they can go to the Lord in prayer. If you say, well, how can I serve? I can't do this and I can't do that. Well, if you've got the mind and the heart enough to pray to God for those in our church and for those in our community, listen, that's far better than anything else that you might can do. But we can't just sit back and say, well, I'll pray for you, brother, when somebody's in need and yet never lift a hand to help them. There's a fine line to walk between the two. We must be willing to take people under our wings and teach them and help them grow in their understanding of the Word of God. I've shared with you that as I had began a discipleship with three other guys, probably about a year, close to about a year now, we started earlier this year, that at first when we all sat down and all of us somewhat knew each other, but we weren't just the closest of friends, and we were all a little, I guess, somewhat reserved when we began, but then over the course of weeks, as we studied one night a week for most every week, sometimes we didn't get to get together. But we began to grow. We began to grow, and we began to grow in the Word of God, and we began to grow spiritually. And then before long, well, hey, brother, this has been going on in my life this week. Can you pray for me about this? And we began to share. And then now I consider those men my brothers in Christ. They were before, but they're even more now because of why? Because of the relationship that I built with them and the bonds that I built with them. And that's what I want us to have as a body of believers here. Listen, it's not just to come and to be, just to participate and to show up and to sit here and to listen to me get up here and preach. We have a job to do. We have a task. And the task can only be completed if we all work together. And it comes with unity, and it comes with us all having our eyes and our focus on Christ. So we must understand that it takes some effort. Let's move on. So we know that we need to disciple. We know that we need to go and we need to sit down and not just use the shotgun method. This is what I consider the shotgun method of preaching or spreading or discipling. I've got a multitude of people here. We're trying to preach the Word and hope that the seed falls and that it takes root where it may. But you see, discipling is going and taking someone one-on-one and sitting down with them and not just coming together here at the church, but coming together in our homes and in our lives where we build those relationships. So we teach, and not only do we teach, but He gives us the commandment to baptize, to baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And I just want to make clear that Christ is not preaching baptism here as a means of salvation. We know, and as we've studied before, that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, that what? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we could go into great detail, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but we know that Christ is not saying that you have to be baptized to be born again. He's commanding us to go, because what is baptism? And as I heard a preacher say, I've never seen salvation. I've never seen someone actually saved before my eyes, and neither has any one of us here. Because of why? Maybe God has, amen. He said, that's no. Because why? I can't see your heart, can I? I can't see your heart. I can see what you say, and I can hear what you say, and I can see what you do, but I've never seen that change in your heart. How can I know that Christ is in you? There's no way. It's impossible for me to know your heart. Only God knows the heart, but I can see some evidence, can I? I can see what's going on the outside. And if you begin to act differently, and if you begin to talk differently and begin to desire things of God, and you begin to want to learn and begin to study and you want to know more and more about God, then we can begin to see evidence of salvation in your life. And that's what baptism is. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward change. It's what we do to symbolize what is taking place. In Romans 6:3-4, it says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So I want us to understand that this baptism is a representation. It is a commandment. Should we be baptized? Yes. Why? Because it displays what has taken place. We are buried. That's why as Baptists we believe in baptism by immersion, meaning that we are dunked, so to speak. Amen. We go under. Not only to symbolize the washing away of sins, but it symbolizes burial. It symbolizes the old man going down and being buried in death with Christ. And then when we raise up out of the water, that we are to walk in newness of life that's found through Christ. And we see that Christ tells us here, and again another example of where we see the triune God or the Trinity, the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. Now we're not going to go into a lot of details here, but there are some who these verses of Scripture are contentious and they're debatable, and they think that you have to be baptized by this words or by those words. Listen, folks, I don't mean to be rude or ugly, but what a pastor says in the baptism waters has no bearing on your salvation. Okay? It does not. Salvation cannot be done. That's what we were talking about in Ephesians 2:8-9. Verse 9 says, not of works. What is a work? A work is something that you do. So it's what is baptism? It's something that is done. That again is just a representation. It's not what salvation is. Salvation is belief. It's by grace through faith. When we accept by faith, and as we have covered that in the past, that's what salvation is. But we're to go and we're to teach and then we're to baptize. When someone professes Christ as their Savior and Lord, then we're commanded to baptize them to display that change. And then quickly closing here in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Man, I love that fact that He says, I am with you always. I'm with you always. See, folks, we were never intended to do everything by ourselves. And we have so many who are doing nothing, and then there's so many who are doing everything by themselves and on their own, that ironically both are neglecting to honor or focus on God in either situation. This morning, as I said, as we've been commanded, any general, any leader has to be able to understand that he has to lead by example, and he has to be willing to go and fight the fight. He has to be willing to give his men courage. He has to be willing to be there in the heat of the battle, to tell them to hold fast, to stay strong. I want to close with this quote from General George S. Patton. That's probably one that we sound familiar. Patton, General Patton from World War II. I come across this quote and I thought it was fitting. He said, wars may be fought with weapons, but they are won by men. It is the spirit of the men who follow and of the man who leads that gains the victory. I love that. I love that last part. It is the spirit of men who follow and of the man who leads that gains the victory. See, Christ has already given us the victory, amen. He's already won the battle. As I shared this morning, we have a general, we have a leader, we have a commander-in-chief who has never and never will experience defeat. He's never lost. And we ought to have confidence in that fact, to know that this is our Savior, this is our Lord, this is Christ, this is who we serve. And if He's given us this commandment to go, therefore, and to make disciples, to go therefore, share the gospel, go therefore, and instill the Word of God in the hearts of men, if we're not doing it, then we are being insubordinate. Folks, many people are trying to do what they can for the Lord, but they fail to do what they have been commanded to do. And we have been commanded to go and to make disciples. Miss Linda, I'm going to ask that you come. I ask Brother Wayman to come. And I know I hear the storm rolling in out there, and I'll try to get us out here shortly. I'm not going to have a long invitation, one verse. But as I always say, this is our opportunity to respond. Whatever the Spirit has spoke to your heart, I'd ask that you use this time at the altar to respond. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father God, tonight I ask that you just please forgive us where we fail you. And Lord, I ask that you forgive me. For God, so many times I know that there are battles to be fought. And Lord, I know that there are things that need to be done. And God, I get distracted with life and I get distracted with the things that are around about me. And I take my eyes off the goal. But I pray tonight that as this church, as Good Pine Baptist Church, as a body of believers, Lord God, that we'd understand that great commission. How can we ever take care of the creation that you've given us, God, if we are not willing to go there for and make disciples? Give us that strength. Give us that courage, dear God, that we would have the ability to go and to do what you'd have us to do. And we love you tonight, and we're going to praise you and thank you for all that you've done and continue to. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.